At our Jesus Culture conferences, we take all the teenagers and the young adults, and we train them, and we take them out into the city, into what we call city invasion, and we have them go, and basically it's a lot of prophetic evangelism, and they get words of knowledge, and they pray for the sick. And they see them healed, and they lead people to the Lord, and they come back and share all the testimonies, and they're just so excited and crying and laughing and jumping up and down because they said, I did it. God used me. And we don't believe that there's a junior Holy Spirit for the kids or the younger people. That it's the same Holy Spirit, and that they're equipped, just like all of us, to go out and to do what the Word tells us to do, to lay hands on the sick and see them healed, to raise the dead, right? And whenever we hear discouraging things like, this generation is so this and that, and too far gone, to whatever, we just tell them that they're just not hanging around the right people. Because what we see is a generation of young people that are so on fire for God. And once they taste His presence, there is no stopping them. And they are boldly going out and doing the works. I just want to share a few testimonies. We're going to do things a little bit different this morning, but there was this girl. She was only about 13. That's middle school back home. I don't know what you guys call that here. It's middle school. Does that make sense? Before high school? Intermediate? Yeah. And she had it in her heart to start a prayer group on campus at her school. And she had been to a Jesus Culture conference, and God had just totally wrecked her. And she just wanted to bring revival to her school. And it's a public school. It's not a Christian school. And to have a club at this school, you have to get sponsored by a teacher. And if you get sponsored by a teacher, then you're good to go. You can have your club. And she found a teacher who was willing to sponsor her. And she put up flyers, and she went around to her other Christian friends and invited them to her prayer group. And she would show up at the same day every week, and no one would come, and it was just her. And every week she would be in there praying for God to send revival to her school. And every time she would still try and get other people to come, no one came, but it didn't stop this little girl. And one day there was a local youth group, a local church that wanted to host they had brought in kind of a Christian band that does evangelism, and they were this group that had these really radical testimonies, and they went around to different schools and different youth events and would share their testimonies and just lead people to the Lord. And they wanted to host something at this school. And when they approached the school said, well, you can only have an event if you are sponsored by a club within the school. And they heard about that, you know, they said, well, there is a prayer club here at this school. And of course, the teachers didn't know that this one little girl was the only girl in the club. But because there was the club, they could host this event. And to their surprise, the whole school turned up after class for this event, for the concert. And they did kind of a talent show thing. They just planned this really big thing. And at the end, they shared the gospel. And there was probably about 300 kids there total, and hundreds, I don't even know how many, raised their hands at the end to give their lives to Jesus. And when it was all over and all these kids had given their hearts to the Lord, the leader of this thing said, "We would just like to thank the prayer group here that put this on. And if you're a part of that, would you stand up? Because we want to honor you." And this one little girl stood up. And everyone said, "What? No, come on, don't be shy. Who else? Come on, stand up." And she said, "It's just me." And we love that story because it just shows that all it takes is just one person. One person stepping out in faith and praying. And that one little girl who didn't stop brought revival to her school. We have these incredible stories. We had a girl come to Jesus Culture, and she had a sports injury, and she had an operation and had metal put inside of her knee so that she could walk still, basically. And her knee was pretty stiff and not as flexible as it had been because of the metal that was all in her knee. And she came to Jesus Culture, and we got all the other kids to be praying for each other for healing. And this little girl wanted healing for her knee. And they prayed for her. And when Jesus Culture was over and she went back to her hometown, she told her mom, "I want to go to the doctor because I believe that God healed me." And insisted that her mom take her to the doctor. And her mother did. And they did an x-ray. And all of the metal was gone. And in place was brand new bone in this girl's knee. And this little girl was so ecstatic. The doctor didn't know what to say. And she asked him to write a statement, basically that there was no medical explanation for the disappearing metal and new bone in place of her knee. And the next Jesus Culture, a year later, she came with the x-rays to show us in the statement from her doctor and just beaming. And after she shared her testimony, we said, "Who has knee problems?" And that little girl just lunged on those people praying for them. You know, she had so much faith after that for what God had done in her. Probably our favorite testimony. I'm like super emotional talking about all this. God's just so good. Oh, so we send the kids out, and this one guy, he got a word of knowledge for Target, which is a store in, or a shop as you call them, in back home in the States. It's everywhere. I don't know if you guys have Target here, but anyway, it's a big store that's like everywhere. And he got a word of knowledge. It was just, he heard the Lord say wheelchair. So he went to Target to look for someone in a wheelchair, to pray for somebody in a wheelchair. And he walked through the whole store and didn't find anybody. And he thought, well, maybe I heard wrong, I don't know. And just as he's starting to walk out of the store, a man in a wheelchair wheels in, and another, and another, and another, and another, and this whole group of people in wheelchairs comes into the store. And it just so happened that Target that day had asked, they'd called the clinic where paraplegic, is that right, people were, and asked them to come to their store to test out all of their handicap access to make sure that it's okay for the store. And I'm sorry, do you guys not say handicapped here? I'm sorry, disabled. Sorry, I think in Australia they said that that's offensive, so sorry. Back home it's not, but disabled. Cultural things. he just picked a guy and walked up to him and just asked him, basically, you know, what his story was. And it was a young guy. He was in his early 20s. And basically, he'd gotten a really bad car crash. And the next thing he knew, he was waking up completely paralyzed from, I think it was it his waist down or his neck down? Waist down, completely paralyzed. And there's different stages of the paralysis, and he was the absolute worst stage where that they were telling him that there was just no chance he would ever have movement or walk again. And he was in this clinic trying to kind of get rehabilitized and kind of learn to function, and he wasn't ready to be released home or anything like that. And Drew, this guy, he said, well, can I pray for you? And he said, sure. Started praying for him. And all of a sudden, this man started moving his feet. And Drew said, could you do that before? And the kid said, no, I couldn't do that before. And Drew's like, well, do you want to try standing up? And he's like, okay. And so Drew helps him, and he stands up, and he's pretty shaky, but he's standing. And Drew's like, could you ever do this before? And he's like, no, I couldn't do this before. And so Drew prays with him some more, and they end up having to leave. Well, Drew lived in this town where we were having the Jesus culture and where he had this encounter with this man. And Drew made a commitment. Every week, once a week, he would go back to this clinic and he would pray for this man. And of course, he ended up leading this man to the Lord. And it was just a few months later that this man walked out of the clinic completely healed. And the really amazing thing is that he would call Drew up and say, hey, come down and pray for my friends. And Drew came down, and he ended up getting to pray for a lot of the people that were there and led a lot of them to the Lord. And a full year later, at the next Jesus culture, when we came back to the city, this man walked up on the stage and shared his testimony, and he had the biggest smile on his face and was just glowing with the presence of God. And we all just stood and we all were weeping, just so amazed at God that this young man at such a young age, who had been completely robbed of walking ever again, the doctor said there was no hope, and here he was standing and walking before us and telling of the goodness of God. It's an amazing thing. And so it wouldn't be right if I left here without praying for people who need healing, right? Because this is in our DNA, and this is who we are. This is the Jesus that we represent. And so we're gonna do it like we do at home, and it's a lot of fun. And there's a few things I really want to go after. If you have asthma, I want you to stand up. We've seen a lot of people healed of asthma. We had a group of girls actually at a Jesus culture once who had asthma. And there was probably about five of them, and I think three or four out of the five got radically completely healed that night. And they were running laps up and down the aisle and just jumping. They said they couldn't do that before. So asthma, if you have any problems with your right knee, I just got a word of knowledge about a right knee. I want you to stand up. If you have cancer of any sort, I want you to stand up. If you have deafness in your ears, any degree of deafness in your ears, I want you to stand up. If you have any back or neck problems that were caused by an injury or an accident of some sort, I want you to stand up. And we're going to pray for this first group of people, and this is what we're going to do at home. And my dad's, Bill, this is what we do at home. It is our responsibility as the body of Christ that we all are anointed for this. And so the people who are standing, I want you to put your hand up. And I want everyone else around them to go to someone with their hand up to pray for them. And as soon as you have someone around you, go ahead and put your hand down so that we know that there's someone there praying with you. And just ask them what it is that they're standing for, so you know what you're praying for. Let's make sure that everyone has someone around them. Look for hands that are still up. If there are hands that are still up, can we get some people to go? We still have some hands up over here in the back. And then this is how we pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? And in heaven, no sickness, no pain, no disease, no deafness. And so we want to take authority over this. We want to command these things to be gone and just speak healing and life into their bodies. Pray with authority. Pray with the authority that is given to you through Jesus. That there are not these things in heaven. We know that it is God's will to bring healing. Let's just go ahead and take a few moments and pray right now. God, we just ask right now that you pour out your spirit, Jesus. We release your healing anointing in this room. Right now, Father, we just speak to ears that have deafness. We command them to be opened up in Jesus' name. We say no to deafness right now in Jesus' name. And we just say, open up right now. Deafness go right now in Jesus' name. Father, we just pray right now for asthma. God, we command asthma to be gone. We just command that thing to be loosened and all of the lungs and everything to be operating in full function. We just plead the blood of Jesus over their bodies right now. And God, we declare just fullness of breath, fullness of healing, that there would be no pain, no shortness of breath, no discomfort. Asthma, you must go right now in Jesus' name. You must go right now in Jesus' name. And we take authority over cancer in this room. We declare life and wholeness and healing. And we just say that cancer, sickness, disease, you must bow to Jesus. And we just take authority over that in Jesus' name. And we command all the cancer to be gone. All the cancer to be gone, for the blood, for all the cells, for there to be complete alignment in the body in Jesus' name. Let your healing anointing flow through their bodies right now, God. God, we take authority over that sickness and we say no to that in Jesus' name. And we declare life and we declare wholeness in Jesus' name. And God, right now we just, for the right knee and anyone having a problem with the right knee, we just ask God that you would just bring a complete healing right now, that all the joints would be loosened up, that Lord, where there needs to be a replacement of bone or tendons or muscle or anything else, God, that you just come and we just speak a supernatural healing to that right now. God, that you would do a creative miracle. Father, we just declare that all pain goes in Jesus' name. All pain must leave in Jesus' name. We just declare full mobility and movement right now in Jesus' name. And God, for the back and the neck problems, God, we just take authority over that thing. And we say no more. No more to pain. No more to discomfort. No more to the pain that's in the back and the neck. And we, God, we just ask that there just be an alignment right now. We just declare full and total healing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Right now, this is what we want to do. If you were getting prayed for, if you're able to, I want you to check it out. See how it's doing. If you need to step outside or the bathroom or whatever, but check it out. If you need to run around, if you need to bend and move, check it out and just see. Is there anyone who got totally healed? Anybody who got completely healed? If you raise your hand so I can see you, if you got completely healed. We got one, got someone right back here. And what was it? Can someone, did you get healed? Was it your neck? Awesome. Was you just having pain and the pain is gone? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anyone else, even a partial healing, if it feels like there's something going on right here? What's going on with you? He said he couldn't hear the high-pitched sounds, and as the prayer was happening, your ears were opening up, and you were hearing what we were speaking, and amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Full, complete healing, Father, all the way. Deafness go. We have another one over here. What do we have? What's going on? Your neck and the pain is gone? Thank you, Jesus. God, thank you for that healing, Father. We just declare even more, Father. Even more. More healing, Jesus. We thank you. Is there anyone feeling anything like heat or warmth or any... Is there someone here raising their hand? Yes. What's going on right here? Can... I can't really hear. Someone want to tell me what? A heat. All right, thank you, Jesus. Let's all just extend our hands to her right now. Father, we thank you for the healing that you're doing in her body right now. We thank you for your presence over her body. In Jesus' name, right now we just ask, God, you do a complete work, 100% healing to her body right now. Lord, from the top of her head to the tips of her toes, Holy Spirit, come and just flood her body right now with your presence. Drive out all pain. Drive out anything that stands in the way of your presence, God. We declare full healing over her right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Is there anybody else feeling anything going on in their body in an area where it was? Is there someone in the back? Are you? Yeah, what's going on back there? A disc out of line, and she's feeling a lot of heat. So put your hands on her in the back, and let's all extend our hands to pray for her. God, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for the healing that is taking place right now. And God, we just say, do it all the way, 100%, that the discs would come into complete alignment. Let there be an alignment right now in Jesus' name. We speak to her spine and say, be straightened up in Jesus' name. And we declare wholeness and healing over her body right now. The all pain and discomfort. Comfort, go right now in Jesus' name, and we declare total healing over her body and her spine right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anybody else? Something going on, something changed or different after the prayer, after the praying? Yeah, is there someone right here?
I have a minor hearing problem, and as you were praying, I actually felt your voice went up.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, let's extend our hands to him right now and just pray. God, we thank you. We thank you for that. We thank you for that. That portion of healing, we just want to say full and complete healing. All deafness go in Jesus' name. All deafness leave right now in Jesus' name. And we just declare the wholeness and the health, just divine healing that his ears would open up. We thank you for that. We thank you for that healing that you've done and are continuing to do in him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Can we just, is there anybody else before we move on? I just, right here, something else going on.
Yeah, I'm just, hot.
Yeah. Let's just all extend hands there and just say more. Everyone say more. More, Jesus, more. Wreck her, God. Ruin her, God. Let your presence so consume her body from the top of her head to the tips of her toes. Holy Spirit, come and pour out your spirit. More, 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 more. We stand in agreement and we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing in her, Jesus. We thank you for that, Father. Bless you, Jesus. Is there anybody else? Something happening in your body, something going on. Thank you, Jesus. And let's now have everyone sit down. We're going to just do one more thing. If there's anybody who needs healing for something that I didn't say, that you weren't standing up, would you stand up for whatever it is that you want healing? Is something maybe we didn't actually call out? Okay, we've got a few people. Okay, you guys ready? We're going to do this again. Stay in this place. Get around them. Put your hands up until someone comes to you. And as soon as someone's there, go ahead and put your hand down so we know that you got someone praying for you. Find out what it is that they need healing for. Ask them what it is. And then declare healing. Take authority over the pain, the sickness, the disease, whatever it is, and speak the healing of Jesus. God, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done here in this room right now, just as it is in heaven, God. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done in this room, just as it is in heaven, God. No pain, no sickness, no disease, no deafness. We just declare that right now in Jesus' name. And Father, we ask that you would pour out your healing oil in this room. Pour out your healing anointing. Anointing in this room right now, God. And we just declare life and life abundantly in Jesus' name. And we just say that all pain and sickness, that those things have to bow their knee to the name of Jesus. And we declare your goodness, God. We declare your greatness, Father. We declare that you are Jesus the healer. You are Jesus the healer. And we just declare that abundant life over each one in this room right now in Jesus' name. We say no, no to all of those things that stand in the way, God. We thank you for your healing. Thank you, Jesus. All right, what I want you to do is I want you to test it out now. If you have a way of testing it out, let's test it out and see how you're doing. Is there anybody that got healed or that is feeling something? One right back here. What's going on back there? Hold on, there's a microphone coming. She's bringing it back so we can hear what's happening.
I damaged my Achilles tendon a few years ago, and I've had a lump for years, and it gets real sore, and the lump's gone.
The lump is gone. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We thank you for that healing, God. We thank you for that, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Right here. We got someone right here in the front.
I had an injury about 15 years ago and in my left knee, and whoa, mate.
So your left knee completely healed and you couldn't move like that before?
No.
Did you guys see this? She was bouncing up and down like this. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, God. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Is there anybody else? Right over here.
I had bad back and neck pain, and it feels the best it's felt in a very long time.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's all extend hands to her right now. God, we just thank you, Father, for this healing that you've done in her back and her neck. And God, we just say that there will never be pain or discomfort again. We declare that over her, that there will never be pain or discomfort again. We thank you for the total healing that you've done in her body. And we ask, God, that you pour out your spirit on her even more, Father, that you pour out your presence on her, Father, in a deeper way. Let your spirit go deep, deep inside, Jesus. We thank you for that in your name, Father. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? Right here. We got someone right down here. Oh, is there another one right here? Oh.
I had a low thyroid and kind of mood swings and depression that went with it. And when she was praying, I just felt like heaps of peace and love and just awesome.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all extend hands to her right now and pray. God, we thank you for that. We thank you for that healing. We thank you, Father, for this thing that is lifted and the peace that is upon her. And God, we just declare and stand in agreement with this healing, a 100% all the way, Jesus. Lord, that you are bringing peace and order to her body, that you are bringing peace and order, the shalom peace of heaven. We declare that over her right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. There's another one right up here in the front.
Yeah, forever, pretty much, I've had all these bad headaches and migraines and stuff, and I had a headache. But as these two were praying for me, I just felt massaging in my brain, and now my headache is completely gone.
Thank you, Jesus. That's awesome. Thank you, Father. Yes, no more headaches in Jesus' name. Is there anybody else? Is it back here? Oh, we got one right here.
I have a rotator cuff in my shoulder, and I've hardly been able to move it, and I can just so move it now.
Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. Yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yeah, people with the same problem, just start moving your shoulders and just see if anything's going on. After that testimony is shared, I just feel like there's a grace for that right now. So if there's something to your shoulders, just start moving it. Lord, we just declare healing over the shoulders in Jesus' name. There's someone in the back here. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, he's so good. Oh, Jesus, you're so good. You're so good all the time. I don't care what anybody says. You want us to be healed. I know it. I believe it. I see it all the time. And we believe that. We declare that you are good. You are good, God. all the time, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You guys can go ahead and sit down. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I have something a little more practical on my heart to share today, and probably won't take a whole lot of time. But then again, you never know, because I like talking, so I don't know. Last night, when Skylar was talking about choice, and it's just a choice, you know, to believe and to just take hold of our identity and all that God has given us. And this is actually not what I'm sharing today, but I just kind of popped in my head and I wanted to share it with you. I had this, I guess, kind of a vision one time. I was in this place where I was a little frustrated about some things and not really understanding exactly what God was doing. And I was on a walk, and I was just talking to the Lord about my frustration and where I was at with everything. And I felt the Lord say, "Kim, why did I give you free will?" And I gave him the answer that I feel like I was kind of taught in church or, you know, whatever. That I just said, "Well, free will means that we are people that would choose to love you, that aren't forced to love you, that we're not a bunch of robots running around, you know." And he said, "Well, yeah, but really, your gift of free will, your gift to choose, is actually a weapon in your hand." And as he said that, I saw myself with this big sword in my hand, and on it was written choice. And I suddenly had this revelation that each and every time that I would choose God in any circumstance or anything that kind of came up in my life, that every time I chose him, it was like I was hacking the enemy, you know? He's getting smaller and smaller and smaller till he was just, boop, gone. And I realized that gift that he gave us of being able to choose, it really is a weapon for us that is there for our benefit. It is a weapon of warfare to help us triumph over the enemy, right? Anyway, I just wanted to say that because I was thinking about it after Skylar was talking about that last night. So I really just would like to talk about honor today. And the importance of mothers and fathers in our lives. And actually, before I start, there's a few people that I want to honor. I just want to thank Ken for all his hard work that he did with this conference and putting it all together, and for a first conference. I mean, it's a big undertaking. And he's just done an amazing job. And just even having to go out and let all the town know, there's a lot of people coming to town, you know? This is a lot of work. So if we could, I just want to give him a round of applause and just thank him. Thank you, Ken. And the band that's been playing with us, they have been amazing. They're probably around scattered, but they've just been amazing, and they worked so hard on learning the songs and just being prepared, and they've just done such a great job. And I have to say that when Skylar and I travel, there's times that we travel without our band and times that we bring our band. And usually, but when we travel somewhere, you know, we'll ask them, you know, we'll send some songs ahead and say, well, we'll play songs like this, and if you want to learn these, you can play with us. And not everywhere we go do they actually take the time to learn the songs. And sometimes it can be really difficult, and it's such a blessing to be here and to be with a group of musicians that they put so much time and effort into that. And it made us feel very honored and loved, but it also makes it just such an easy transition for us in leading everyone in worship. And so can we just, again, let's just give a clap for them, because they've just been amazing. And we thank our lovely pastors here who have hosted this for us and allowed us to do this and supported Ken and putting it all on. And we just, we are excited to be in this small town. We are from small towns, and so it just feels like being at home. And we are thankful that you just opened up your hearts and your home for us to be here and do this. So one more time, we're going to thank them as well. Yep, honor. Tomorrow is Mother's Day in the U.S., and we honor our mothers, tell our mothers how much we love them. And is it Mother's Day here as well? It is? It is tomorrow? Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Great. So we get to honor even more people tomorrow. See? Honor. It's amazing. Honor creates an atmosphere for revival to happen. And in the same sense, it's kind of also some fruit of revival as well. But honor brings unity amongst the body and brings unity amongst the people within the church. And it's kind of hard to have revival without honor, because it's hard to have revival without unity, right? And love for each other. And what I kind of want to focus on today, and what I'm talking about is honor for our mothers and fathers and for leaders in our life, and how important that is. I'm very blessed to live in a place where we've got lots of really incredible mothers and fathers, but there's something I want to be understood as I'm talking about this today, that in reference to mothers and fathers, it's not always people that are standing up here. When we're talking to the younger people about this, and we're encouraging them to find those mothers and fathers in their life and to have those people around them, we tell them, don't just be looking for people that are in the spotlight that everybody knows, because within the body, there are so many mothers and fathers and incredible people with so much to give and so much to pour out. And it's when we're living in that place of honor for each other, honor for our mothers and fathers, honor for those leaders in our life, and just that love and unity that it brings, that's when we're in a place where we're ready for revival. We're ready for God to pour out His Spirit. It's a scary thought to me to think about trying to do life apart from family. When I say family, I mean like my church family, the body that I'm from, the mothers and fathers, my brothers and sisters that are there. Honor brings freedom. And I'm just going to kind of talk a few things about honor and why it's so important. But here's the first one. Honor brings freedom. I have it set in my core values, and I really feel like it's just in my DNA that I will always choose honor no matter what. It's like what Skylar said last night. You cannot go wrong when you choose honor. God will always take care of you. He'll always get your back every time. And I have been to places where I showed up and they said, we're happy to have you here leading worship, but could you not sing in tongues? You know that thing that you do? Don't do that. And immediately this thing in me I have the opportunity in that moment to let this righteous indignation rise up in me and say, I will not be put in a box because Kim does not like to be put in a box, and I'll do whatever I want. Thank you very much. That's what we do back home. But instead, because I carry that value for honor in my life, I choose to honor, and I say, okay, no problem. And I every single time, never fails, every time, I come back and they say, you know what, do whatever you want. Do whatever you want, you know? It's just, I think it's just that people want to build up that trust, you know? They want relationship. They want unity and love. But that wouldn't have happened if I had not first chosen to honor them. And I could have very easily been like, well, you're not my pastors. You're not my mother and father. You're not whatever. But instead, because it's in me to always choose honor, I chose to honor them, knowing that God would take care of me. I have a friend in the back. She's waving to me. Hi. I would always choose honor every time. And God, just like I said, He will always, always make a way. I remember I went to a, do you guys know what CFN, Christ for the Nations? Do you guys know what that is? Christ for the Nations is a big Christian institute in Texas. It was founded by Gordon Lindsay. Gordon Lindsay was the author of Voice of Healing. It was a magazine that was in circulation it still is in circulation, but it started way back in the day of all the early revivalists. And he was with, was it Branham? William Branham? Do you guys know who William Branham is? Yeah. Anyway, so I go to this school, and you know the song, How He Loves? Well, my friend John Mark wrote that, and there's that line in there that says, heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss. When I first heard that, I imagined a puppy dog licking my face, and it grosses me out, but at the same time, I really want it because it's so sweet and affectionate. It's like heaven meets earth. It might be a little messy, but we just welcome it, you know? That's the way I look at it. But anyway, so he writes this song, and I get there, and they say to me, we don't want you to sing those lines if you sing that song because we don't like those lines. And at first, I was really confused. I had no idea that it would be offensive. And I just, again, chose honor. And we actually ended up changing the words for them and changed it to something else. And since then, I've gone back 3 times. And each time I've gone back, they tell me just to sing it however I want. They're like, oh, just go ahead, sing the words, sing however you want. And each time I've gone back, they just give more and more freedom as I've built this relationship because of honor, because I just chose to honor them and not be offended or upset with them. It doesn't even matter about agreeing or not. Agreement's not even really the matter. It's just honor, just choosing to honor them. Really, it's not, choosing honor is, it's not a big list of no's. It's just one big yes to Jesus. One big yes to His plans and His purposes. One big yes to just trusting Him. And choosing honor doesn't mean that you get locked up within restrictions, rules, or whatever. Choosing honor brings the freedom, brings the life, because you're just giving a big resounding yes to the Lord and putting Him first, trusting Him. And it's an amazing thing to just let Him work through you instead of trying to push to make something happen. You know, when I first started out, I had this core value that I still have, to never promote myself in any way. And I have worship leader friends who will call churches to book themselves for the churches and to get these things planned out, you know, whatever. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but for me personally, I have a conviction that I never wanted to do that. And I've never once called a place and said, can I come lead worship there? Tried to make something happen or tried to promote myself in any way. I've always just waited and allowed God to open the right doors in the right time and allow Him to put me where He wants me to be. And just having that, again, not looking at it as a bunch of no's, but just a big yes to the Lord, just waiting on Him to bring things about, and knowing that in my choosing honor, my choosing to honor the leaders and the mothers and fathers of my life, my choosing to honor these different churches and people that bring me to their house, that I'm partnering with, that I'm connecting with, and choosing honor, I know that I can't go wrong. It's just the way of the kingdom. And I know that God is going to take care of me. And I don't have to worry about trying to get my opinion across or get my agenda across or whatever it is. I just come in with humility and ready to honor and to serve. And that is what brings freedom and life. Really. when we're going and teaching at worship schools, we talk about a lot of different practical things, and we always open it up for questions and answers and things like that. And so many times I'll get a worship leader, a worship pastor that will raise their hand and say, you know, I'm at this church where I just feel like my pastors are holding me back. They're not letting me do what I'm created to do, and I don't get to do this, and I'm just very frustrated, and I'm this, or they don't understand me, or whatever it is. And I always tell them, well, the reality is you have two choices. If you don't like it, you can leave. No one's forcing you to stay there. Or you can choose honor. You can choose to honor these leaders that are in your life. You can choose to align yourself under them and to serve them and to serve their vision, and watch what God does for you. Watch what kind of freedom that will create. Watch what kind of atmosphere of love and worship that will create. Watch what God does once that trust and that unity happens. And I learned right away at our church that in serving the vision of the church, in serving Bill's vision, in serving Brian's vision, as Brian was worship pastor, in serving their vision, it didn't mean that the dreams and the vision in my heart was lost. That's not what it meant. It meant that those things at different seasons were kind of set aside for this greater purpose of desiring unity and desiring for us all to be there together, right? And for not to be the everyone. I mean, what would it be like if everyone within the church and the body was just running their own directions, trying to do their own thing, trying to make their own agenda, trying to make their own whatever? I mean, it's kind of, to me, I feel like it doesn't make any sense how we would ever move in unison in revival, right? You guys tracking with me? So I learned to understand that when I would align myself under them and with their vision, and I would give all that I have for their vision, for worship and serving their vision, I found out that God didn't forget about my dreams and my heart. And He began to promote me. And He began to put me in places where I would get to walk in new favor and new authority, to where eventually now here I am, and Brian and I were like brother and sister, we're peers, we're running together. We have like these two kind of visions that are a little bit different, but they meet together in the same place, because ultimately we're still serving Bill's vision. Heaven on earth, you know? And so it's an amazing thing. It's something that's kind of hard to talk about and explain, because I don't know that it always makes complete sense to our natural minds, but it's the kingdom. It's how the kingdom works. There's a song that Misty Edwards wrote about, it's upside down, inside out, backwards, up and down. You know, if you want to get high, you go low. Like, it's just, that's just how it is with Jesus. It's just completely different than kind of the way that we do life out there, really. And I just love that it also is an opportunity for us to build up our faith and our trust in God. It's an opportunity for us to learn to trust Him more and to grow our faith, knowing and trusting that as I am serving their vision, God is at the same time growing me. And He's not going to let me get lost. He's not going to let my dreams just fall away and just be buried. But in the right time, in His perfect timing, in His perfect way, He brings me out and puts me where I'm supposed to be. And brings favor. Honor brings favor. It's an amazing thing. There was this scientific study that was done where they took all these kids and they put them out in this big open field, basically, and said, go and play, and you can play wherever you want. Anywhere that you can see, you can play. But what happened is all the kids kind of flocked together in one little area, and they just stayed in this one little spot playing. And when they built a fence around the field and told the kids again, okay, you can go out and you can play as far as you can see within this fence, that time the kids went out and went all over to the very edges of the fence and were taking up the whole yard. And what they're trying to show is that the way that our minds are built and created is that when you give it parameters and some boundaries, you actually become more free. You actually become more creative. I can say as a musician that I used to do studio singing where they would bring me in just to sing background vocals on someone's CD. And I was just like a studio singer that if a producer was working on a project, he'd call me up and have me come in. And a lot of times I didn't even know the people that I was singing for. It was just it was kind of a studio job. But when I would go in there and they'd say to me, oh, just sing whatever, immediately I'd just be like, I mean, that list is just kind of endless. Whatever. I mean, it would take me years to even figure out what all is there. But when I would go in and they'd say to me, okay, we want it to sound a little like this. We're kind of looking for this kind of feel, and we want it to stay within this range. Immediately, my mind starts thinking of all the possibilities that I can do within those parameters that they gave me. It's just a natural process. And for me, I think about this like favor. I get really frustrated when I hear people complain about, I'm just a little worship leader in my little home group. And they're just so not satisfied with the favor that they have. It's either that they don't even recognize that they do have favor, or they're looking at it going, my favor's only this big, and it's just not enough. But in my mind, I'm looking at it going, well, that degree of favor that you have, how much have you done with it? Have you run to all the edges of the yard and gone as far as you can with that favor? Because this is what I do. The bit of favor that's given to me, it's like someone handing me a bunch of ingredients and saying, show me all the things that you could cook with these ingredients. And I will just go, 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 go. I will exhaust every option. I will run to the edge of the fence and I will stand there knocking and waiting. I will be faithful to every bit of favor that I have. And in doing that, in the choosing honor, when I'm honoring my leaders, when I'm honoring my mothers and fathers, when I'm honoring the people around me, the people in my life, the people within my church body, when I'm honoring these people, I'm earning favor with them. And I'm not going to ever complain about the favors this big or this big or this big. But I'm faithful with wherever it is, and I'll do everything I can. And I saw that in my worship as I was the faithful background singer for Brian. And then it's like it extended and he gave me more favor till eventually I became the worship pastor with Brian. And I was doing the job with him. And Bill, I remember that, singing with Brian, I would start stepping out more in the spontaneous and prophetic worship, and I began to grow favor and trust with Bill, to where there were times that Bill would get up to speak and he'd go, Kim, why don't you just come and sing? And we would just spend the service, I would sing, and we'd just spend the service just like having a crazy Holy Spirit time. Or Bill would bring me out traveling with him. But all of these things started and came and grew. The favor on my life grew as I would always keep my heart in a place of choosing honor. And I would take whatever favor was given to me, and I would run to the edges of the field with it and be faithful to that. And I would just do anything and everything that I could do with that favor. Is this making sense? I love the story of Ruth. I'm going to just turn there really quick because I want to read this part. So Ruth and Naomi, you guys know the story. Naomi's the mother-in-law. Ruth is the daughter-in-law. Their husbands die, and they're getting ready to leave, and Naomi is saying to her daughter-in-law, by every right, you can go back to the land of your mothers and fathers, and I hope that you find another husband there and someone will take care of you. There was nothing that was in the laws or was customary of that day that would say that Ruth had to stay with Naomi. She was free to go and do that. But Ruth was clinging to Naomi, and she said to her, and I love this, she said, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you from me. And I love that Ruth's heart, even though this was not her natural mother, even though she was under no obligation to her, even though there were no rules, no laws, no anything, nor any reason, Naomi was saying to her, I have nothing to offer you. I don't have any other sons. I'm too old to have any other sons. And even if I did by chance have another son, what, would you wait for them to grow up to marry them? This is ridiculous. I have nothing to give to you. And none of that mattered to Ruth, because obviously Ruth had honor in her heart. She wanted to honor this woman who she called mother, this woman who she looked up to as a leader, as a mother in her life, and she chose honor. And because of Ruth's choosing to honor Naomi this way and following her, that's how she ended up with Boaz. You guys know the rest of the story. And I feel like that was just the Lord's reward for her heart of choosing honor, of choosing to, I mean, if you think about it, it's probably a little bit hard to comprehend this day and time, but back then, like, that was a really, really big deal. It's almost like she was doing this at the risk of she would be a widow forever, that she would never be married again. She was doing this at a risk of there's nothing promised to me. I could end up living the rest of my life alone. Like, that's a really big deal when she had this other opportunity to go back and to do these other things on her own, to pursue her own plans, to pursue her own destiny, to try to make something happen of her own accord. But instead she chose to follow this woman, this mother, and to honor her. And the Lord rewarded her for that and took care of both of them, right? Our mothers and fathers, are these leaders in our life, are so important because they also bring covering for us. You know, when Bill isn't home, I can feel it. I can feel, and very, very rarely is he not at the church. He makes it priority to be home for Sundays. He's there for all of our conferences. But Bill has this crazy schedule. He's flying all over the world, speaking all the time. He has this incredible stamina that I think is just only Holy Spirit. And he will fly in on Saturday night, be there for Sunday, and fly out Monday morning. You know, like, it's a crazy schedule, but he has a priority to be there. And on the rare occasions that he's not there, I can feel it. I can feel it in the church, like, Dad's not home. And you can kind of feel that, like, something's missing, you know? And they provide this amazing covering for us, that they're the ones that God has placed in a position to be that covering for us. Danny Silk is a father in my life, and him and Sherry have been very influential for me and Skylar, and we've recently partnered with them and are doing a lot of ministry work with them. Do you guys know who Danny and Sherry Silk are? Yeah. Danny, this is kind of a funny story, but I didn't really want to get married until Skylar came along. Skylar convinced me I wanted to be married. I had this one experience. There was this guy that I kind of was interested in, and he came to me and basically, you know, he gave me this whole thing. He told me that he wanted to pursue me. He wanted a relationship with me. He really liked me, all this stuff. And he was just how serious he was. And he was thinking of like long term. And I'm kind of like, okay, you know, I'm interested. And the next day he sat me down and said, never mind. I changed my mind. And he was like, his brother talked him out of it. And I, being a girl, was very upset, of course. And I went and I told Danny what happened. And I'm just in tears. It just hurt my feelings so bad. I mean, now I have a good laugh about it. But anyways, Danny was just silent the whole time I'm telling him this. And he's like this. And he goes, excuse me. And he leaves. And Danny went and took care of that boy. That is not how you treat our daughters. And from that point on, anytime a boy would show interest in me, I would say, go talk to Danny. And they never would come back. But Skylar came back with Danny, and Danny like this. I love that story. This is the other part of covering that these people in our life provide. You know, they are an accountability to us, especially as young people. Young people, especially non-married young people, hear accountability, and in their minds, they think of it as, my accountability is making sure I'm not doing things I should not be doing before I'm married, right? Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay. But really, accountability, aside from that, yes, that's important, but really accountability, these people in our lives, these mothers and fathers, these leaders in our lives, they're the ones that we welcome to speak into our lives. And the moment that we forget who we are, or the moment that we start veering off track, they're there to say, hey, this way that you're acting right now, that is not who you are. That choice that you just made, let me remind you, this is who you are. Remember, this is who you are. Remember that destiny that you're called to. Remember those dreams that you were sharing with me. That's who you are. That's what you're created for. You're not created for that. You're created for this. Leave that stuff behind. That's what they do. That's what mothers and fathers do. That's what they are in our lives, that covering, that accountability. I can't even imagine trying to do what I'm doing in my life without that covering, without those people to be there to remind me. You know, Banning was the first leader at the church that I connected to and got to know. And even though Banning, and I might have mentioned this the other night when I spoke, Banning and I are not very far apart in age, but he's way more of a father in my life. And Banning and I, I've been doing Jesus Culture with him since before it started. And him and his wife, CJ, like, I have this bond and connection to them that I know the dreams that are in their hearts that are dreams that they're not even walking out yet. Dreams that they've only spoken to these people that are close and around them. And they know the dreams that are in my heart. They're always saying to me and Skylar, so tell us, what's in your heart? What do we need to do to help you? Do you need money? Do you need this? Do you need that? Do you need resources? What do you need? What do you need to make the dreams in your heart happen? This is the heart of a mother and a father. That they know you. They know the dreams in your heart. They know these desires. They know who you really are. They see you. And you get to have that relationship with them as well, to know their dreams and to know their heart, so that I can serve their vision. So that, like, I know Banning's dreams so that I can serve his vision. Because just like he wants those things to happen for me, I want those things to happen for him. And any way that I can help make those dreams happen, I want to do that. He's pouring into me just as much. The awesome thing about mothers and fathers and serving their vision, serving the leaders in your church, serving the house, is that their victory becomes your victory. And their blessing becomes your blessing. Their triumph becomes your triumph. I feel like even just this morning when I was sharing the testimonies, when we're praying and all the healings and the miracles, the amazing things that God did today, I feel like that is part of my inheritance just with Bill and serving his vision, that he is a pioneer in that. And because I've aligned myself under him and I serve his vision, I feel like that then is my inheritance as well. That those things that he walks in are the things that I get to walk in. That when you find those people and you serve their vision, that all of the amazing, wonderful things that they have and that God does in them, you get to have those too. It's awesome, right? It's an amazing thing to have that inheritance, especially for a girl like me who didn't come from a family that was really walking with the Lord, and, you know, to be adopted in to that inheritance, to that family. Their ceiling becomes your floor, and you get to go even further. And a lot of times I think that mothers and fathers, our leaders, these different people in our lives, even our brothers and sisters, they hold keys for us. And if we can learn to honor them, and honor the people around us, honor the people within our church, honor the body, they might be holding a key that is vital to your destiny or to your freedom or to your healing. You never know, really. Like, I do believe that there's that divine purpose, that God brings people together for a reason. Right? Do you guys believe that? Yeah. I love the story of Elijah and Elisha. 2 Kings, in chapter 2, it talks about, you know, Elijah walks by Elisha, throws his cloak on him, then kind of like keeps walking like nothing happened. I've never really understood that part. And then Elisha, you know, gets rid of everything to go follow him. And he's just kind of like, what are you following me for? But I think he was looking like to make sure he's following, you know. And Elisha comes and he's just serving Elijah. He had that honor inside of him to honor Elijah. He wanted what he had. And not only did he want what Elijah had, but when it was time for Elijah to go, he said, I want double. How about that? Talk about boldness. He wanted double. And Elijah said to him, you know, you guys know the story, but Elijah said, you know, well, if you see me when I go to heaven, then you'll have it. And at that point, Elisha was determined to not let Elijah out of his sight. And multiple times, Elijah said, you stay here, I'm going to go over here. And he'd be like, uh-uh, you're not going anywhere without me. And he would follow him everywhere, everywhere. It was like three or four times it lists these different places that Elijah would say, I'm going to go, you stay here. And you go, nope, not going to happen. I'm following you. You're not getting out of my sight. I'm not going to miss it. And then people would keep coming along and telling him, hey, Elijah's about to go. Elijah, he's like, I know, stop it. Don't even tell me. I'm trying to focus. I'm trying to focus on him. I can't lose him. And then sure enough, when he leaves, Elisha sees it, and he gets a double portion. And I read that, and I feel excited just to think about, like, this is a great example of honor, of serving the vision, and the Lord rewarded him. It wasn't that Elisha went around being known as the guy that followed Elijah around, but that he received the double portion, and he got favor, he got promotion, and the Lord raised him up as his own prophet in his own ministry, right? God is faithful to those things in our heart, the dreams in our heart, but it's not without honor. And when you become a mother or a father, you don't stop becoming a daughter or a son. And I can even see in my life now, as I'm stepping into a role, especially in Jesus' culture, more as a mother, I'm still a daughter. Banning, he's got his own kids. In the natural, he's a father. But he's still a son as well. Bill has fathers in his life. And Bill is a father as well. But he's also a son. Honor. Honoring the people around us. Honoring the body. There's just one more thing I want to kind of talk about. If you don't feel like you have mothers and fathers in your life, and you want mothers and fathers in your life, Danny has this way of talking about it and describing it that I think is really amazing. Because obviously it'd be kind of weird if you just walked up to someone and said, will you father me? Will you mother me? It could be a little awkward. So it starts with being a servant. That's the first thing. You become a servant. And what I'm about to tell you about Jesus was a perfect example of this. You become a servant. You find those people. And like I said, mothers and fathers are not just people that are on a stage or pastors or in a spotlight. And when I'm talking about honor, I'm talking about honoring across the board. But right now, talking about mothers and fathers, that it could be anyone within the body. Right? Are you guys good? Tracking with me? Okay. So you find those people and you hear out their heart, their vision, and you serve them. Serve them any way that you can. And you find out what it is they want to accomplish and how can I help them accomplish that? How can I help them reach those goals? You know, Banning talks about how when Chris first came to Bethel, Banning really had it in his heart that he wanted Chris to be a father in his life. And he wanted to really build this relationship with Chris. And Banning would go and just, he'd go and be like, oh, your yard looks like it needs mowed. I'll mow it for you. Or whenever Chris would get up to speak, Banning would grab his Bible and grab his notebook for him, and he'd carry it up and he'd put it up on the pulpit for him. I mean, Banning would just do anything and everything he could to serve. When Brian first came along and asked me if I wanted to sing, I just determined my heart right then that I was going to honor him and I was going to serve him in any way that I could. And you know, Brian, he could, and he did at many times, call me on Saturday night at like 10 o'clock at night. Kim, can you lead worship in the morning? And every time I said yes, every time, even if it was like, oh, Brian, it's so last minute. And oh, that means I've got to be there so early in the morning. 7:30 comes really quick. And I couldn't, but every time. And I never had any other plans, but if I had, I would have dropped them just to serve this vision. when Brian needed things done, him and Jen, whatever they needed, I would just do it. I just would serve them in any capacity I could. Even little things, like if they needed copies made of the songs. One time Brian was complaining about how there was no organization to all the chord charts and the songs that we have. And I took it upon myself to go and to bring organization and to do that and get it all like taken care of for him. And just any way that I could serve. Serve. Become a servant. Jesus was the ultimate servant. Everywhere he went, he was serving people. And when you become a servant, then you become a son or a daughter. You serve these people, and they suddenly turn and go, oh, this person really is hungry and ready to receive. I mean, you don't want to just try and force something you have to give onto someone, right? But you want people that will come along and that are ready to receive whatever you have to give out to them, right? And so when you go from being a servant, you go to becoming a son, where they're looking at you and they're recognizing your heart, your servant heart. They're recognizing this thing in you, and they're ready to pour back into you. They're ready to find out the dreams and the desires in your hearts. They want to know, how can I help make this happen? And they become that mother and father. A mother and a father is not in competition with their children. They're not. The true heart of a mother and a father is that they want to see their children go further than they ever did, ever. That's what is in the heart of a mother and a father. That they hope and they pray and they desire that these children, both natural and not natural children, that these people that come along in their life take everything that they have to give and go and multiply it, right? Leaving a legacy, like we talked about, an inheritance, to take it and run with it. That's what we want. That's the kingdom. That is what Jesus displayed. Jesus said, I do what I see my Father doing. He was just operating out of that place of watching his Father and doing what he saw his Father doing. Right? And then, when you've learned to be a son or a daughter, then you become, as Danny says, the lover. Then you know how to love, and you know how to be a mother or a father. Does that make sense? Servant, son, daughter, lover. You learn how to love unconditionally, selflessly. You have walked through, you understand honor, you understand how it works, you understand the Lord's grace and his honor when you do that. You understand what it is to be a mother and father and to want to see these people around you to go further than you did and to multiply what you've given. If you guys wanted to go ahead and just stand up, and I'm just going to pray and we'll wrap up. God, I ask that you would continue to raise up the mothers and fathers here in New Zealand, God. And Lord, I ask that the hearts of the people would be turned towards each other in honor and in love, Father. That within the body of Christ, within the churches here in New Zealand, Father, that there would be people coming in ready to align themselves in and to give themselves to the vision of the house, God, to honor their brothers and sisters, to honor the leaders in their lives. God, I just ask that you would just stir this thing up inside of us and cultivate this thing in us with honor, Jesus. Lord, that we would understand and truly know what it is to honor and to just give selflessly, Father, to love and to walk in unity. And God, I thank you. I thank you, Father, that you always take care of us. You always pave a way for us. Rather than trying to go out and do it on our own and make it on our own, it is so much better walking in unity with our family, with our brothers and sisters, with our mothers and fathers, as one body of Christ, God, that we are walking out the destiny that you have for us, Jesus. And God, I ask that you would just bring that unity, Father, amongst us, that our hearts would just be overflowing with honor for our leaders, for the people around us, for our pastors, God. We just thank you for that. We thank you for your faithfulness in that, God. We trust you. We trust you, Father. We trust you, Jesus. We thank you in your name. Amen.